Good morning. It's Wednesday, May 20th. I'm Fletcher Powell, and this is Wichita's early edition from KMUW News. Lawrence Gowan of the band Styx says one of the reasons his band has experienced continued popularity since the 1970s is the timeless nature of its songs.
We think we're unique to our time on this planet, but we do tend to go through the same challenges that that every generation does. We just I guess all that changes really is the technology.
We'll hear more after the news. Wichita City Manager Dennis Marstall says Wichita will ramp up enforcement of a citywide camping ban later this summer.
There will be time frames to get services, have heads up, think about other services for locations for housing, and then we will look at encampment enforcement.
Marstall delivered the news at a city council meeting Tuesday, where local homeless advocates say people living in Chapin Park have been told to clear out. The South Wichita Park has long been used as a place to shelter by people who are experiencing homelessness. Marstall says Wichita has increased homeless outreach throughout the city. He says city officials plan to work to connect people with shelter options before increased enforcement begins. Tens of thousands of people across Kansas and Missouri had no power Tuesday morning after strong storms brought winds and heavy rain overnight, Julie Deniche reports.
Power was restored to about 85% of impacted customers as of Tuesday morning, says utility company Evergy. That's 92,000 households. Spokesperson Courtney Lewis says an outage at Northeast High School in Kansas City was storm-related, but power has been restored. In Wyandotte County, the BPU says restoration efforts will continue through Wednesday. They've advised people without power to make arrangements for medications and medical devices and to check in on elderly neighbors. I'm Julie Deniche.
Kansas farmers are facing what may be the smallest wheat crop in 50 years, according to the federal government. As Kaylin Moore of the Kansas News Service reports, it's from hot, dry conditions.
With fuel prices rising and fertilizer almost twice as expensive as last year, Kansas wheat farmers needed an exceptional harvest to overcome the rising costs. But they're not getting that. Last year, farmers left 7% of the state's wheat crop unharvested. The poor condition of the crop has wheat scouts estimating that will be up to 17% this year after months of dry and warm conditions. Vance Emke farms wheat in Lane County. He says some farmers are choosing to let cattle eat their wheat.
There's a number of guys around here who are grazing out their wheat. There's more money in cattle than there is in crop production.
Emke says that while his fields have survived, the season isn't over and there's reason to remain anxious. For the Kansas News Service, I'm Kaylin Moore in Liberal.
The Smoky Valley Chamber Music Festival starts this week in Lindsborg. The event is a celebration of multicultural exchange with educational activities and chamber music performances. The festival will feature performers from around the world, as well as students and faculty from the University of Missouri in Kansas City. Organizer Caroline Beckman created the festival for her doctoral thesis at UMKC. She spoke about it during a recent rehearsal.
It's been like the biggest and hardest and most special and personal thing that I've ever worked on.
Performances will take place throughout Lindsborg all week, culminating in a weekend of performances at Bethany College's Presser Hall. Saturday's performance of Appalachian Spring by Aaron Copeland will be followed by a commissioned piece called Smoky Valley Soundscape, composed by A.J. Harbison for the Lindsborg community. Later this year, a Topeka historic site will display a 462-year-old German family Bible that was used to inaugurate the first person of color and first Kansan to an executive branch office, Zach Boblett of the Kansas News Service reports.
Before Charles Curtis took his oath of office to become Herbert Hoover's vice president, a VP had never taken the oath on a Bible. That tradition changed with the Bible that was authorized to be printed by Holy Roman Emperor Ferdinand I. The Bible, owned by the Geist family in Dodge City, is being donated to the Charles Curtis House. The historic Topeka House, which was purchased last year by the Kansas Historical Society, will display the artifact. Kansas Historical Society Executive Director Patrick Zollner says the former VP's name is inscribed in the Bible.
That makes it significant and especially a powerful artifact to be displayed at the Curtis House.
The Charles Curtis House will open later this year. At the Kansas State House, I'm Zach Boblett.
A political party in Kansas has ended 2 years after it was formed. The Secretary of State's office announced in a news release that No Labels Kansas has lost its status as an officially recognized political party. No Labels Kansas became a new political party in early 2024. It formed as an alternative to the Republican and Democratic parties. Since its forming, the party has failed to field candidates for any statewide office. Nearly 6,000 people registered with No Labels Kansas. They will be reclassified as unaffiliated on voter rolls. Kansas City Chiefs wide receiver Rashee Rice was arrested Tuesday in Dallas for allegedly violating the terms of his probation. According to court documents, Rice tested positive for THC, which is a probation violation. He was taken into custody and ordered to serve 30 days in jail. Terms of the probation were set as the result of Rice's role in a six-car crash in March of 2024. The sentencing means Rice will miss the Chiefs' mandatory preseason minicamp. He's entering the final season of his rookie contract. The Kansas Attorney General's office announced the purchase of sleep sacks that will help promote safe sleeping in infants. The sacks will be distributed to expecting parents at upcoming Safe Sleep Community baby showers. At these events, the Kansas Infant Death and SIDS Network teaches safe sleep practices. They also offer local resources to parents. The sleep sacks were designed to reduce the risk of SIDS by keeping babies warm without loose bedding. The next community baby shower in South Central Kansas is today in Hutchinson. More information is at kidsks.org. We'll be back after this.
This week on Into Music, Criteria's Steven Peterson discusses the inspiration for the band's latest album, Seas.
There was just a lot of ends, a lot of not pretty endings.
That's Into Music this and every Thursday from KMUW. Find it at KMUW.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Fletcher Powell, and this is Wichita's Early Edition. The band Styx was formed in Chicago in 1972 and continues performing and recording new music to this day. Vocalist and keyboardist Lawrence Gowan says the band's enduring appeal likely comes down to its positive lyrics, impressive musicianship, and ability to entertain. KMUW's Jed Bodwin recently spoke with Lawrence Gowan, and here's Jed with more.
I was thinking about the appeal of Styx, and obviously the music, very much so. But then I honed in on some of the lyrics, and I realized that oftentimes the songs are about how we as individuals can kind of triumph over adversity.
Yeah, I think that's a good observation. There's generally, although they may start off with a difficult subject, let's call it that, it does land the right way. It lands in such a fashion that you feel like you have the wherewithal to withstand whatever has been brought up. Nothing would stop this incredible mess. It's also part of the longevity, I think, of the songs is that the human experience is really something that's, we think we're unique to our time on this planet, but we do tend to go through the same challenges that every generation does. We just I guess all that changes really is the technology.
There's the deep musicianship there, the playing that might not necessarily sound complex when you're just casually listening, but when you go a little bit deeper, you find out it is. I think that's also something that appeals about Styx. But then at the end of the day, you have to make people happy with your performances.
We're all very committed to making the whole thing entertaining. It has to entertain. It has to capture the whimsy, that an audience comes in expecting to, encounter. So that makes it a very unique setup.
So speaking of entertaining, you're a keyboardist frontman who has this rotating keyboard stand. And my understanding of that is that device originated in your solo career.
We were doing a video in 1990 for a song called Lost Brotherhood. It's an album that Alex Lifeson from Rush was the guitarist on that album. And he agreed to come and do the video for the title track. It was the second video we made for the record. When I'd written up the storyboard and when our director had begun to really piece it together and it was all working well, I realized that I had the most boring part in this entire video. And so I went to the production department, the lighting people in particular, and said, can we come up with something that moves? And over the course of us gabbing about it, finally we landed on, how about if it spins? One of the fellows there said, we have enough, like they had all kinds of extra pieces, etc. We could concoct something that does that. And then we drew it up and it was designed and then put together. And I used it in the video, not thinking it was just a video prop, just for that song. And it was able to kind of move and relate to what all the action was going on around me. All the guys in the band, including Alex kind of, and the crew on the video, said, are you going to use that thing live? And I was like, no. But then I thought, wait a second, this could work. So I took it out on stage, and after the first five or six shows, I realized that I'm not giving this up.
Styx performs with Cheap Trick tonight at the Heartland Credit Union Arena in Park City. You can find more of this story at KMUW.org. Jed Bodwin hosts Strange Currency weeknights from 8 to 10 and Saturday nights from 7 to 9 on KMUW. Thanks for listening to Wichita's Early Edition. We'll be back again tomorrow. For KMUW News, I'm Fletcher Powell.
Wichita's Early Edition is part of the NPR Podcast Network.
The next literary feast will be held at KMUW on Wednesday, May 27th at 6 p.m. We'll discuss Son of Nobody by Life of Pi author Jan Martell. Public provides the feast, and participants are invited to bring a beverage to share. Tickets are $15, available at kmuw.org. Literary Feast is made possible by The Spice Merchant, a founding sponsor of the Arts and Culture Fund.
Each morning, it's a new opportunity, a chance to start fresh. Up First from NPR makes each morning an opportunity to learn and to understand. Choose to join the world every morning with Up First, a podcast that hands you everything going on across the globe and down the street, all in 15 minutes or less. Start your day informed and anew with Up First by subscribing wherever you get your podcasts.